Hey there. You're listening to the Serenity Now podcast. I'm Amanda Little. This is episode number 7. Joining me today is Suki Kermes. Suki has a passion for sharing pre and postnatal yoga and pelvic floor health. She shares with us today about her strong beliefs in the importance of nourishing ourselves. Hello, Suki. It's so great to have you on the show with me today. How are you doing?
It's great. It's great to be here, Amanda.
Yeah, this is exciting.
I am doing, yeah.
You're doing, yes, I know. We were just saying that's a big question. And I know I need to find a different question to ask.
No, I think it's a good question. It's how we ask the question, right? But it's, I'm trying to lately answer with more of a connected answer.
Yes.
Right? The rote, like, oh, good. It's like, well, that doesn't really get us anywhere.
More meaningful. Yes.
And yeah. But meaningful. Some people aren't ready for the bigger question. So I don't know. How are you? How's your heart? How's your feeling?
How's my heart?
There's so many ways to go.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
Heart.
Yeah. Well, I'm feeling great because I'm so excited that we're chatting. This is awesome.
I am too.
Yeah.
I said, I appreciate that you said it was, you know, a conversation like we're having coffee or tea. And I was saying to my husband, she's one of the most soothing people to have a conversation, soothing friends to have a conversation.
Oh, thank you, Suki. That's so lovely.
And, real. But
yeah. And so normally with these chats, I don't really get into the how I know the people that I'm talking with. Mm-hmm. Because generally, I don't know, I feel like the audience maybe doesn't really care. And maybe I'm wrong in that. I don't know. But a couple episodes ago, or maybe it was the last episode I did, I don't remember. I spoke with Darcy, who we both know, and we talked about yoga therapy. And we went over the fact that Darcy and I met in Costa Rica, that we were roomed together. Mm-hmm. And so you and I also met in Costa Rica. At the same place, where the same yoga retreat that Darcy and I went to. So yeah, this is exciting. Yes. I've only ever seen you in Costa Rica.
Seen us, yeah. There, I have so many friends that's the hub, the identifier. Not a bad beginning.
Yeah, right? No.
So magical and medicinal, yeah.
It is. It's incredible. And I know, so the first year, so I've been there 2 years and you were there both years as well. So I'm from Edmonton, Canada, and you're from Philadelphia, right?
Just outside. Yeah. It's
just outside Philly. Okay. We're meeting in, we're from, you know, different countries, meeting in a third country. And I know after that first year, the connections that were made, I felt like it was soul connections. Mm-hmm. And so coming back that second year to see you and some of the other people that had been there the first year too, it was really amazing.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? It just gets reaffirmed and amplified.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. So I'm so glad to be connecting with you and doing this. This is exciting.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you agreed, and you're welcome. And thank you for agreeing. So what we wanted to talk about, or what I wanted to talk to you about today, that you is kind of a bit of a specialty of yours, is into the realm of yoga surrounding pregnancy, so before and after, and then of course pelvic floor health and pelvic floor yoga, because that's, you know, hugely affected by pregnancy, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how did you get interested in this area?
It's interesting. I had taken my yoga teacher training, never with an intent to teach. I think that's the case for a lot of us.
Okay.
I now have 3 children. Okay. But
and you had none.
I had none. I didn't have them on my radar. None of it.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of the timing of this. No, yep. I was asked to attend a friend's home birth.
Oh, wow.
And I had not had any experience with birth. I worked with animals at the time, actually. I didn't have anything to do with working with people.
Okay.
I was maybe going out of my way to not work with people. Yeah. And this friend asked me to be at her home birth. And I will never forget walking into that house. And it was the most palpable, powerful energy just from the moment the door opened. And I wasn't even on the same floor as the mama and partner and midwife. And after that, it was very clear to me that one, if I was in, this is when I lived in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
So if I was still in Austin, Texas, if and when I had a child, that is how I wanted to have my child. And with this midwife, because I also had a really sweet connection with her, and she was just so awe-inspiring and really grounded and and clear in her way. And so then one of my yoga mentors from my 200 YTT, she had encouraged, I think Jen had encouraged me to take this prenatal training. She had just had a child, but there was a teacher in town doing a prenatal yoga training. So it just kind of had opened a little window of curiosity for me, the birth, mm-hmm. and then tying that into yoga. So I took the training, and just from there, it just opened a whole world for me that was just a little different. And then, you know, there's nothing general about yoga, you know, but just, right. I think finding that niche, and at times, sometimes I think it was hard having more of a niche or specialized, but it also gave me something more to hone in on. And I then became pregnant, had my first son.
Okay.
And
did you,
the same midwife,
had him. Same midwife. Yep.
Yeah, same midwife, Mary okay. Barnett in Austin, and we had him at home, and with my one of my dearest friends there as support, and two other amazing midwives. My dog's howling and fireworks going off.
Wow.
He was born on July 5th, very early in the morning. So.
Wow.
and my partner, my husband Neil.
Yeah.
And so that it was all kind of happening at the same time, and. From there, I started shortly after when I started back teaching it was really kind of around the same time I actually was starting teaching too.
Okay.
Then after he was a bit older, I started right in with prenatal yoga. And mostly that was, I didn't teach many classes because he was so young and I was at home with him. But it was mostly prenatal that I was teaching. So kind okay. of from the get-go was in that niche. Yeah.
Okay. From prenatal, then, like, how does that lead into postnatal? I don't even really know what mm-hmm. the difference is. What is the difference between a prenatal and a postnatal? And did you transition into that because you had had a child?
Yeah, like, that's a good question. Well, so asking me, I'm going to give you a little different answer than maybe is there. I think postnatally is often considered this like from 6 weeks, well, right after birth, but you're kind of often cleared for exercise or to go back to yoga or returning to, I mean, depending on how your birth went.
Yeah.
And you know, your healing and your state of where you are around 6 to 8 weeks. And
okay.
then through this, like six, maybe some people would say 9 month marker, is this postpartum period.
Okay.
Well, we have a little different perspective on this, as do some other people. But I, for one, don't, once you had a child,
yeah.
Once you've carried a child and birthed a child, in my mind, you're always postnatal.
Okay. Yes.
Our bodies are forever changed. You also then can add on other children into that.
Yeah.
And then you're overlapping these periods. Right. So you could even be prenatal and post at the same time.
Sure.
So I view it more as I'm refining actually my languaging around this. But I guess the simplest would be it's like this postpartum spectrum.
Okay.
Of time. because it's not just the physical. So I think in the States, when we're talking about postpartum, it's very much based on, narrowed down to the physical.
Okay.
And I ask that we kind of open up the scope and consider all the aspects, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, and the physical.
Okay.
That happens during that transformation. And there's so many levels of healing that need to occur and that need the time and space and steadiness and support to occur.
Right.
And so what I quickly started realizing was, here we have these parents in prenatal, and it's such a short blip. It feels so long. It feels so big. And it is. It's magical and transformative and so quickly changing and empowering. It is really a short period of time.
Yeah.
And then you have the baby and your parent.
Yes.
And where's the support, particularly in the States and particularly for, and coming from my experience. And I particularly then, after having my second child, my first two, about almost 2.5 years apart, was like, whoa, wait a minute. Where is everybody?
Okay.
I think you all think I'm fine, but I'm not fine.
Right.
And where is everyone? And so,
is the assumption that you've done this before, so you know what you're doing?
Yeah, I would say yes. And just, I'm speaking from living in the States, right? And the culture that I have experienced. We also don't have good support for our mothers and our parents.
Just in general.
I don't want to narrow that to mothers, to parents in general. We do not have ample, rich, solid, sustaining support.
Right.
And establishing that, I found that I'm someone that I'd say about myself that I'm a connector, or like I like to seek out the person and the support and the people, and then kind of web them together and create this kind of matrix or community or web.
Okay.
But I had to do so much of that, and that came naturally to me, but I don't think we should have to do so much of that.
Right.
That needs to be already established for us within this village mentality, which we've gotten so far away from.
Yeah.
And so in prenatal yoga, can we set up a community and an environment and support and kind of a refuge that's established so that it's there going in to after you have the child?
Nice.
and then building from that. And so that's ideally, and also like that you're setting the tone in prenatal yoga that yes, this is going to help during birth. And yes, it's going to help during those hard times of pregnancy. But what we're really seeding is for the sustaining efforts, you know, and years, months, weeks, months, years afterwards. And that's really what also is the yoga practice, right? So
yes.
Just hopefully, ideally, that's what's being seeded.
That's lovely.
To germinate after.
Nice. And you have a mama's group that you run, right?
Yes, Nourished Mama.
Nourished Mama.
So, Nourished Mama. And that's really where she was, and I do say she in terms of the feminine aspect.
Okay.
So, if you are a transgender papa, you know, having a baby, this is still the same support as it's this feminine Nourished Mama. This is someone birthing. Ideally, my vision for Nourished Mama in the long term and broader view is also not necessarily this human baby that we physically birthed into the world. This could also be, you know, adopting a human baby, but this is birthing a creative project, right? Taking care of your dying parents, to being your partners, the earth. So it's this aspect of this deep feminine, which again, coming back to, is like, is our culture really reverent and protective of, and establishing that back into, because that is in us so innately, but kind of tapping back in and honing back home to that, and coming from that nourished, supported place.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. I know when I reached out to you and told you that I was doing a podcast, you came back to me with this comment of how exciting you're birthing a podcast. And I had never thought of it that way, but it kind of, even just saying it now, it kind of gives me chills to think of it like that. And yes, it is. There's this period of it, you know, growing and changing, and then it is launched out into the world almost like birthing something. Yeah. I really liked that you said that. It also made me feel like this is more substantial. Does that make sense? Like there's an,
it does. And you know, we tend to sell ourselves or not, anything to reinforce that for ourselves, I think is important, right? Cause we tend to sell ourselves short of that, I think sometimes.
Yeah.
That we do big, great things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not give it enough credit.
Right. It's just like, oh, you know, what's that NBD, right? No big deal. I started a podcast.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. Like we could do this with all these things. I love how you're doing that. Mm-hmm. You want this to be, or your vision is that it would be more than just human birth. That's lovely.
Yeah, we have to take care of the mama and all of us.
Yes. Yeah, and that
and that's what it really comes back to, I think, is that realizing, you know, it's become kind of the saying, you know, self-care has really stepped up, hashtag self-care. But really, when you break that down and get into the roots of that, it is so important and crucial. And really nourishing the mothers. And it's the question of like, is there, do we know anyone, you know, in Ayurveda, it's ojas. And like, I have a teacher who said like, you'll never find someone who has too much ojas. And it's that nourishment. No one's like overflowing with nourishment these days in our culture, in our modern ways. You know, so seeding that and really getting it saturated and steeped in our roots, and so that we go out from that place, is an important one. What I feel very protective and fiercely, I guess, compassionate about. Yeah.
How do you think?
Compassionate, I said, passionate and compassionate.
Right.
Yeah, about.
Yeah. So how do you think? How do you see, or how do you envision things being different if we were a society that valued nourishment more? Or even if you want to take it in this way, how do you, what's your vision for your nourished mama? Like, what is it that you want to have as sort of, you know, outcome is very, you know, has so many, like, well, whatever, there's like limits, or there's structure to outcome, but essentially what is it that you, what's your vision?
I know what she's been birthed from, Nourish Mama, and it's also from just my personal experience of mothering and going through three different, as you said, I have three kids and I had three births, and it's this birth and death and renewal and then overlapping and overlapping, and what that does to ourselves as our individual, and this reckoning, this deep reckoning. And I believe it's why also what I call upon so much in my practice is this is a practice that is providing a steadfast, deeply rooted support system. And that from that, we can't go anywhere if we're not steady and stable, right? And to be, I mean, mother and pregnancy, birth is like, and motherhood, parenthood in general is the most like steepest learning curve, just thrown into it.
Right.
And this really magnifies life in general, right? We never know what the next day, the next moment's going to unfold for us and gift us for better or worse. But is to come from that in a more supported, more nourished in the way that we kind of have our basic needs met of this this, and it is so simple. In a way, it's so simple, but it's profound because I don't believe most of us have this established, or you know, just this steady, protected, safe support system. And that's from within us, even just in our body, of how we take care of and view and talk to and tend to and listen to our bodies. And then take it the next step of how that is then translated into our medical system or our culture at large. Yeah. And I identify in a female body. But yeah, so I don't know if I'm answering your question directly, but I also kind of going back into a web, I think there's so many offshoots of it. Yeah, right. That, it's kind of bringing it back home, and that it doesn't have to be so, it's hard, but can we make it, can we make this grand journey and this magnificence a little simpler? Like, do we have to make it so difficult?
Right.
I don't mean we're making it difficult. I think so many factors make it difficult. Mm-hmm. And so how can we hone in and simplify to come from a steadier, more nourished place?
Okay.
And that's going to translate and echo out into the world with much greater efficacy and amplification for those who we take care of and those who we serve and those who we influence.
Right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So all of these considerations, do you bring this into your yoga classes? I'm assuming the answer is yes.
I hope so. Yeah. And that's seated in the intention of why I'm so passionate about teaching. So yeah, while that might not all be said, because that's a lot of saying, right?
Yeah.
It is my intention with my personal practice of what's steeped in that. So I hope and aim that that's what's translated and, you know, transmissioned out with my teachings. And right. Then it's a place of refuge, really, for it is mostly women who I have come to my classes and my groups, and that they feel that it is a place of refuge and where they can feel supported and in a place that they can release and surrender and kind of get to that clear place to themselves, because it's so often we're pulled in so many directions and outward, and just really coming in and being kind and curious and listening.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So I have a couple of questions about physical practice.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. We'll go from the depths of all of that, which is beautiful. But yeah, we'll bring it back to the physical for a little bit. Is the physical practice of yoga, the asana practice, for someone who is, let's say, prenatal, what kind of considerations are there? Like, can anybody do this? And do generally, are there prenatal classes, or is there just, you know, yoga classes and people who are pregnant should consider certain things when they're going to a class? That sounds like a lot of questions I just threw at you.
Good question. I would encourage, that's good. Yeah. But it's, and I think it depends on where you live.
Yeah.
I would really encourage a pregnant person to seek out a prenatal class that they are called to and, you know, feel that comfortable with the teacher. For one, also the community that can be thought through gathering together, and people who are going through what you're going through, and that is specifically geared towards prenatal phase of life, because the teacher will be ideally certified and studied in, you know, knowledgeable in that. And that it's a class of like anyone will walk through the door, right? So definitely geared towards beginners. So it's always beginner friendly. They have a lot of mamas who either haven't practiced in years or are totally new to it. And fortunately, you know, we're recommended from their care providers to seek out such class.
Okay.
And we focus a lot on, one of the most important, this is really ideal for any yoga class, but is the breath. And then moving in ways that serve and really get them in their body and listening via the breath and via getting into the body. And then, ideal poses for certain maybe stages of labor and for to relieve certain aches and typical conditions that come up, and then ones that are safe. You know, there's certain things that you do avoid. Say you don't want to do a close it off twist, or that's just an example.
Yeah.
We're aware of those things.
Okay. Could someone who has not, well, you answered this before, you're saying sometimes there's people who've never done yoga before that come in, but So how about the question of exercising during pregnancy? Is what would be nice for brand new moms to be? What would be nice for them to know about exercise during pregnancy? Or as far as a yoga class goes? If they've never done anything before, is it safe for them to just come in and start?
Good question. So to generalize it, for a pregnant person who is having a healthy pregnancy with no concerns so far, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely my class is one that is perfectly suitable. And then also knowing conditions that might come up, of things we need to be aware of, you know, with your care provider. Care providers should be telling you if there's things to be avoidant of or careful of, or, you know, if you're put on bed rest, then you're not doing any exercise, let alone yoga, except for maybe, you know, restorative relaxation, guided relaxations in bed, which is, I'll also send home with the pregnant mamas and parents who are in that condition. So we can find ways to support through most any of the situations. Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like finding a person who, a teacher who is well-versed and knowledgeable would be of a utmost importance, or would be your first thing you would do.
Yeah. That would be my first thing. And if you can't find that there, I mean, it depends on the yoga teacher training, right? About how much prenatal is put into it. So that's such a wide variety that there's some around here. It's great. They're really offering, but there's only so much you can do within a 200-hour anyway. It's just going to be a little blip or module.
Yeah.
So I have multiple trainings in it. I also had the training of life of three children, navigating three children, you know, through it. So because I had a practice already established during that. So I have that gift. But it just, I would say to find, you know, and most importantly, where you feel comfortable and supported by that person in that space. So, and there's also a lot of, if you can't get to someone, there are resources online as well.
Okay.
I would say it's great to always get in person, you know, but if you already have a practice established or, there are some really great offerings online via DVDs. So.
Okay. So, I mean, during my teacher training, we talked about prenatal yoga a little bit, but that was pretty much it. I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable in my abilities to address someone coming into one of my classes if they didn't have their own practice and didn't know how to listen to their own body already.
And that's really great, humble advice, you know, for a teacher to say to the person too, you know. So I would say that I feel like a lot of, well, I don't know, this might be, I don't want to assume, but that if someone is new, they are more apt to seek a specific class out than to just go into a general class because they're concerned, you know, they're the most protective. So,
And then you become more flexible, don't you, with... as your pregnancy progresses?
Yeah, well, there's with the hormones coming in, and the combination of them, and particularly relaxin. So you do have to be wary about, particularly if you're already someone who's hypermobile, is really working within a more stabilizing, supportive realm versus overstretching, because you can overstretch to the point where you're not going to be able to, won't come back. So that is, that's definitely something to be mindful of as well. And we do a lot of restorative as well within it. And so teaching the parents how to take up space and reside and relax, like rest deeply.
Yes.
Because most of us are all deprived of that, and kind of chronically deprived of that in general. But it's what's yummy as the teacher of someone who already loves to teach restorative is that they're like hungry for it and receptive of it. Where in a general class, sometimes you might be like, oh, I came here to move, you know. But so it's really satisfying as the teacher in that space as well. And that also goes for then after they've had the baby, if they come postnatally. And that's where, when I teach the nourished mama circles, is that's it's also open to prenatal, but that's also particularly those who have already had children.
Okay. Now, are there considerations for people looking to get back into yoga or to start a yoga practice postnatally?
Well, if you've just had a baby, then definitely being sure you've been cleared by your care provider, that you're cleared for exercise. And then depending on how your birth experience was and what state your body is in its healing process, you know, where and how to approach the practice is important.
Okay.
So, yeah, it just varies so much for different people.
Yeah.
And there's also in our culture kind of this tendency to, I hold my breath a bit at the terminology, but it's often said like to get your body back. And we never lost our bodies, right? And it's just really to inhabit our bodies and listen to our bodies and breathe, let our bodies, allow our bodies to receive the breath and the nourishment and release. That it facilitates effort, you know, just every day, every night, in and out for us.
Okay, so I have another question, and I don't know, I may be totally off base with this because I have no children myself. But so once you have a child, I'm sort of envisioning that, or assuming, I guess, that in a way, your body almost becomes not just your own anymore. And does yoga help? Like when you were saying you not get your body back, but to embody your body again, does the yoga practice, can it help you to like come back in, like connect in and come back in touch with yourself separate from this new child, this new creation that you have that demands so much of your time, right? And energy.
That's a really important, beautiful question. And I would say definitely the echoes of yes. And that with that, particularly even if you're, well, and again, I'm identifying as a female. And what I see with a lot of the humans born in female bodies is that we, regardless of having carried a human or not, is that we don't embody our bodies and fully. Maybe that's on the level of acceptance, right? Or also even
like culture,
disassociation. I have a lot of women who, that's one of the biggest kind of ahas, is after being, you know, in space together for a while, is realizing like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been doing for so many years and almost not aware of it, until the awareness that they've landed back in their body in an accepting way.
Oh, that's super deep.
And Yeah.
And incredible.
And it's so, it's really, it's incredible. And it's our birthright to be in our breath and our body. And so that's also incredulous that this is so common. And so it just reiterates how important it is to make spaces that healing and inquiry and support and surrender can occur, I think.
Wow. Oh, I love this. Okay. Your yoga practice, did it help you? Did it help you to get ready for the birth of your children and even for parenthood?
You know, my yoga practice has changed a lot since I've had children, and I think on this often, and I
how old is your oldest?
Of course. My oldest just turned 12, a few days ago. Okay. And then my youngest still will be turning 7 this month. And then my middle, he's 9. So now I have a yoga practice. Mm-hmm. When 12 years ago, was it a yoga practice? I went to class and I practiced asana. I did not have a meditation practice. Okay. I was finding quickly that I loved restorative yoga and the more restful, relaxation aspect of the practice. So, but I did not have a regular meditation practice.
Okay.
And I loved the philosophy and I was hungry for all of it, but, I didn't have what I have established today.
Okay.
And so, but that said, it's interesting. I have an echoing from something one of my midwife said to me before my first was born. And she said, "Oh, Suki, you're going to breathe this baby out."
Oh.
And I did not just breathe this baby out. I had really challenging births.
Okay.
My third child, I had emergency cesarean after, at 43 weeks pregnant after really long, it could have been a much longer labor. But what did my practice, it's interesting. I could sit with, did it help me through the birth? I don't know. Did it help me postpartum, particularly after my third? Heck yes.
Yeah.
and back to what my midwife said, she caught herself after my first was born and said, kind of realizing that we have no idea how a birth is going to go for someone. And so to say that and kind of lay that expectation, she was, this is decades under her belt. And she was also wise enough and humble enough to come back to that and mend what was said, and reflect on that. Again, I had my first two babies at home, and yes, it was all a beautiful birth, and but there were definitely, it wasn't just a straightforward breathing my baby out with no little to no intervention or help. It didn't help it happen that way.
Okay.
So with that, I think, but the practice was so different at different stages, and what I was calling upon in my yoga practice, and particularly after having my daughter, not only that now I had 3 children, I had recently relocated to a different state, moving our family across the country, and then having a cesarean. It was all, just what I would call upon in the practice was such a, and particularly that's when I fell into the world of yoga nidra as well, and just what a healing anchor and boon that was for me. And during that phase of life. So yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it just changed. Right.
Yes.
Just like it always is changing, but
So maybe a better question would be, has your yoga practice informed you as a parent or your parenting? Mm-hmm. And then the flip side as well, has your parenting informed or influenced your yoga practice? Or shaped it, helped shape it.
Yeah, that's a good way of asking it. Yes, I know one thing in particular that comes to mind after you ask this is in the early years, I had very strict guidelines about how I would go practice.
I think I remember I think you told me about this before, but keep going.
Yeah. And I think I've shared this on one of my, it was one of the most, on Instagram, one of the most, I got a lot of feedback from this share because it was, I would close. I wanted it quiet. I didn't want an interruption. Mm-hmm. I wanted a certain period of time, you know, but that's not life. That's right. Not life as a parent of small children. I mean, you heard my daughter, right? When we, before we started recording, you know, and so to also, and I also had a lot of frustration. I had a lot of anger and it was not going away. Mm. You know, what I was practicing on the mat was not translating out into how I was navigating the world and navigating and my, those closest to, in to me and those I was, you know, bringing up. And so that in particular, and that's actually one of the reasons I was most drawn to my teacher, Yoga Rupa, Rod Stryker, is this helping me sit in, it was at the four desires training and really working with this anger and the feelings of it and the layers of shame and where it comes from and the root of it and what's behind it. And that I can very solidly and proudly say has shifted immensely, you know, and that's part of knowing that the practice is working and also is working along through the phases. And so phases of parenting and life in general. Allowing them, because what's going on with them is they're my greatest teachers, my children. And so that helps to then inform what I'm practicing and sitting with in self-inquiry and working with within the practice and then vice versa, right? It deeply affects how I then in turn parent and live with them and just kind of we're raising, you know, supporting each other as we navigate world life together.
Right.
So
Nice. So as you're talking, I'm thinking back to the beginning of this conversation and you said that you feel that as soon as someone has had a child or has given birth, they're always postnatal. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of what you're describing is, you know, all these different phases and changes of being postnatal and that how your yoga practice has changed and modified and it's interesting.
Yeah, and I think too, after, so there's also the first phase of having the birth, right? Maybe even through the prenatal stage and the birth. And we don't really, particularly in our culture, in the Western culture, we don't give time and reverence. There's logistically really isn't even that room, I'd say, in most families and most systems to process the birth, particularly if you had a traumatic birth.
Okay.
I mean, I'd also say that birth in general is a trauma. It's for both the birther and the child.
Yeah.
And so we just don't. And that is so deeply housed in the emotional body, in the physical body. Mm-hmm. And so the years of then how that manifests, we'll say we'll use example of the physical, is that then if we're depleted, which most mothers, particularly new mothers I know, are massively depleted, on sleep, on nourishment, on support, then how are we going to begin this efficient, optimal healing, let alone even know what it is. And then layer upon layer, if you've already got a child,
right.
So you've already got one and then you've got another, you know, it's just, multi-layered. And so as they get older, ideally, then you're in a more space where there's a bit more room to breathe, so to speak. And if we do have some type of practice that we are then being able to do that inquiry and embodiment and make room and space, you know, for the healing, to occur.
Nice. When did you start practicing with Yoga Rupa, Rod Stryker?
I met Yoga Rupa, I think, 6 years ago now. Okay. I'm trying to think. My daughter was quite young. I met him actually for the first time, well, via Yoga Glow, but then, and then in Costa Rica, and then quickly, well, knew particularly, I saw him right after Costa Rica in at the Himalayan Institute for Four Desires, and it was very clear to me that, yeah, he would be my teacher, and the lineage just felt such connection with the Himalayan tradition lineage and the community, particularly the Pali Yoga community. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is a really wonderful community, and his teachings are really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you mentioned Yoga Nidra, and you and I are both doing a training coming up with Yoga Rupa, Rod Stryker, in the fall, the second part of his Yoga Nidra training, which I'm so excited for. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking right now, like, maybe you and I should get back together again for a second episode after we do our training, and we can have a discussion all about Yoga Nidra.
I would love that.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
That'll be great to do that with you.
Yeah. And especially if we do it like shortly after, and we still have all of the, you know, the enthusiasm, not that the enthusiasm won't be there later, but it's different when it's fresh, right?
Mm. Yeah. Well, and especially with a sustained practice, I'll say Yoga Nidra has been particularly the last seven-ish years of my life, but it's just been that real steadfast regular in my practice, and I don't know where I would be without that. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay. So is there anything else that you think is important for people to know? I know we didn't even get into pelvic floor health. But yeah, is there anything else you'd like to leave with the listeners that would be really good for them to know or to investigate, or anything else that I didn't really cover? And I'm asking you knowing that there's
a question of, I guess what just comes to mind, just the first thing that comes to my mind is just kind of sitting and asking the question of, am I tending to myself, and where can I tend a bit sweeter and deeper and more nourished, in a more nourished way, and just starting there and being really kind for what comes up. It may not be comfortable. It may be a big void of like, you haven't really even allowed yourself to ask that question, let alone receive, an answer around it.
Right.
So that's what comes to mind.
Okay. Very nice.
Be good to yourself. Yeah. You can't be good to anyone else if we're not being good to ourselves. And that's not something to be guilty about or feel lavish about. You know, it's just sort of fundamental in navigating particularly our world, and being able to then go out and do with the right action and with purpose to serve and uphold others. We can't do that if we're coming from a place of deprivation and and instability. Yeah.
It's that phrase about filling your own cup so that you can fill others, and you can't fill with an empty cup. Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So if people wanted to connect with you, how could they do that?
I'm on Instagram, working to have a more steady appearance on Instagram, presence on Instagram. Yep. So that's Nourished Mama. There's dots or periods after all the first letters of Nourished, and then Mama. Mine, so you can also just write Suki Kermes, K-E-R-M-E-S. Okay. And then I'm working on revamping my website, and that will probably be under my name.
Okay.
Suki Kermes. Right now it's practicewithsuki.com.
Okay. So. And I'll include all of this in the show notes so people can access it there.
Great.
Okay. That's great. Well, thank you so much, Suki, for joining me today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
This has been a beautiful conversation.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Amanda. Oh,
thank you. I appreciate you too. Thanks, Suki. I'd like to thank Suki for joining me today in this beautiful conversation that we had. And I'd like to extend my deep appreciation to you for listening to this episode. And now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, Take a moment and connect in with your breath. As you inhale, feel yourself drawing in energy through your whole body and feel the relaxation that you can allow to come to your body as you exhale. Stay connected to that space created by your breath and go have a fabulous day and find your serenity now.